Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show. Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm here with Kara.
Hey.
It's been a minute since we've had Kara on the main pod.
Like, several minutes.
Several minutes, at least.
The last one was my Diana episode.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm sure the listeners are thrilled to hear your little voice coming across the airwaves, coming to you from the magic of the internet.
Right.
Guys, Imps has had some terrible illness, a cold of some sort, and then bronchitis, and her voice has been shot. So that is why we don't have part four of the Kaler timeline. We are still going to be chugging along with the Kaler timeline. I also, like, whenever I do a long series, I like to kind of split it up with something else in the middle from time to time, just in case if Kaler's not your jam, great, we've got something else for you. So we're all wishing Imps to get better. Go send her a get well wish on her Instagram at Imps MD, E-M-P-S-M-D is her handle on Instagram. And yeah, so with all that said, we are gonna do our long-awaited main pod Midnight's review. Kara, are you so excited?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Almost as exciting as the fact that today I had chilies.
Oh my God, you had chilies today?
I did.
Hold on. What'd you get?
Okay, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Chilies today, at least, kind of reminded me of Midnight's and the fact that it was kind of mid.
Chilies is not as good as we make it out to be.
I think it's like, it's about the experience.
Agreed.
Like, you have to be there and like playing the trivia and getting the chips and like sharing stuff. But I got a appetizer sampler.
Your fave.
Yes. Except for the chicken, what do they call it? Chicken crispers were not that good. And then I got the cookie.
Mm.
And all in all, I was like, why was this $32? I'm like, but yeah, I still have some of it in the fridge, but yeah, I ate my Southwest egg rolls, of course, because they're like the one thing that I actually think is really, really good. That and the pasta, the Cajun chicken pasta. I didn't get that, but like that is really good too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had that today because I had to go get my emissions tested for my car.
Oh, that's your thing, and you get chilies when you go.
There's a Chili's by there, and there's not a Chili's in the city, so.
Yeah. Well, a mid-lunch for a mid-album review on a mid-day.
Yeah, exactly.
I've actually had a great day, but so we are going to talk Midnight's, and before we get, we're going to go track by track, we're going to say our thoughts on the song, and we're going to try and discern Muse-ship, and if that's what people have been waiting for, great. What I will say before we jump in is on the Patreon, I would say there are 5 to 6 different episodes where we do something like this, and I've gotten input. I've platformed everyone from Imps with her Kaler takes to Tilly Nation with her Tilly takes. We've had Shannon come through. Kara and I shared our early thoughts about the album when it first came out. Jenna from Date Card Pod has shared her takes. We have had, the songs could be about girls, the songs could be about guys. Every song in the album could be about Carly. Every song in the album could be about Joe. Like, we've put all of that. That's all on the Patreon. This episode is going to serve, of course, for people that don't have Patreon. That's fine. Now you will get some of those takes condensed in this episode. But this is also just going to be my final, Cam's final take. And of course, I feel like it's only appropriate we have Kara here because, you know, Kara, her skepticism heavily influences mine as well. And like,
of course,
this is as close as my little brain can get to reality about who are these songs about and do we even care or not. But if you're wanting every song on this album is about Carly Kloss, I have that. That is on the Patreon with Imps, you know, all the Tilly takes. I feel like if there's any Diana takes, I don't know. There are no Diana takes. Sorry. Like, you're going to have to go somewhere else to make all these songs about Diana, and that those places exist. It's just not something I can even platform
venture
on the Patreon. Yeah. But the other thing I want to say is We have come so far from our summer of 2020 days. Here's how every song on Red.
Thank God.
All the falling in love songs on Red are about Diana, or all the 1989 songs, all the breakup songs on the album are about Diana. Like, we're just not in that era anymore, and we don't have the same kind of receipts as to when songs were written and timeline data as to where is Taylor when she's writing the songs and who is she with. Midnights is a different animal. So while I will attempt to discern muse-ship in this episode, it's just not the science that it used to be. And by the way, guys, it was never a fucking science. Like, it's still always been like mostly based off vibes and our wildest dreams and hopes that Taylor's writing songs about women. Like, it's not a science. It's even less of a science than it has been in our takes on some of her other albums. And that's okay.
Insert a personal anecdote about our 2020 days.
Of course.
So the other day, this is not really that relevant, but like the other day I had to take, long story short, I had to take my car to the old suburb I used to live in before I moved to the city to get my car fixed. And I drove by like the old house I lived in. And I was like, oh my God, this is like where we started the pod. So
yeah.
I'm walking around all the streets. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe how many of these streets I like took walks down being like, who is this Taylor Swift song about? Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, that was my strong memory from being there, because a lot of it was pandemic, so I didn't have that much else going on. But yeah, I was like, that's the roots.
Yeah. And we have really come a long way. And while it will always tickle my little funny bone, my little curious mind, my little gay conspiracy theorist brain of like, okay, well, what clue in this song can prove this song is actually about a woman? I don't think a lot of these songs are about women. I just don't. And I think a lot of the clues point to men. And I think a lot of the lyrics point to men. And there's a couple songs in here I am going to give a final judgment on as women, but it's just like, if you're coming back from the good old days of songs about Diana Agron, part 1 through 4, like, you know, the throwback to that. Like, I don't think this will go like that. Like, the other problem is when the songs are written about different times in her life. Like, we've got everything from, I think, her teen years to like recently commented on. I think she continues to comment on the same thing she's been writing about since Rep to an extent. Like, I think we get a lot of repeat themes that we saw in Rep and Lover. And I just want to kind of say, like, if you're looking for those good old classic days of like, here's the timeline and here's the secret woman, we have that coming. It's just going to be on the 1989 re-records, maybe some of Reputation. Like, there's not a lot of that on this album, but there is some. But like, the other thing I will say is, this is my final judgment, and I feel like Kara and I will probably land on the same page for most of these.
Mm-hmm.
This is my final judgment, but it doesn't mean it's the only judgment that matters. Like, if you are like, this song is about Lily Donaldson and blah, 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 like, I would bet money on that, and that is so important to me, that's like really fine. I don't care to prove you wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is my take. It's not, I'm not really opening up the floor for debate, because like, it just is fine. It's just fine. Like,
we're allowed to disagree.
Yeah, we're allowed to disagree. And I respect that, you know, I think a lot of our listeners do come to their conclusions very thoughtfully. I think if they didn't, if they weren't thoughtful people, they wouldn't be able to put up with this podcast, because
right.
Like, so many content, so much Gaylor content in this day and age is just a bowling ball of like, everything is about Gaylor and Karlie Kloss and nothing else can be true. Like, and it's just, I think if you really like that kind of analysis, you're not even listening to this podcast. You're going to those other people who make that kind of analysis, and that's fine. But like, I do just want to say, like, I think if you listen to this podcast and you've come to a different conclusion than mine, you're still valid, because I know you're thoughtful. Because if you weren't thoughtful, or if you weren't had at least some degree of skepticism, or like viewed this stuff with some self-awareness, you wouldn't be listening to the podcast. So I don't know. That's just my spiel. Like, the other thing is, we think Midnight's era and album as a whole are mid. So we're also not here to be sucking Taylor's dick the whole time. This era has been underwhelming. I mean, just to start off, like, we'll get to it track by track, but I don't think it's her best music. I don't think it's her best writing. There are moments that shine. Kara, what do you think? I mean, are you with me on this?
Yeah, I haven't been a fan of the rollout, or like, the album itself is just not good. It's definitely in the bottom few of my ranking of Taylor albums. So yeah, I don't have like the kind of thoughts that I might have on Folklore or Evermore or something, but yeah.
I think it's just the era has been sort of littered with Taylor's obsession with money and accolades. It's kind of hard to ignore. It's sort of like, we're supposed to get the Lavender Haze music video, but has she been holding off giving it to us simply because she has been chasing setting a record with having what is that song? Anti-Hero, you know, stuck at number one for 8 weeks. She beat Blank Space, which it's like, leave Blank Space alone. Leave that queen alone. Like, why? Blank Space
is the best song on 1989.
Well, I don't know that I think that, but I think it's one of the better ones. And I just think it's one of her best songs ever, honestly.
It is. It's so good.
Leave her be, Taylor. Like, what are you doing? But, and it's just so the money grubbing and just like the selling of the digital random like copies and like the four different albums that make a clock and it's just like Taylor will do anything to set records. And it just feels like we have come a really long way from like Speak Now, where it was just a girl, you know, a singer-songwriter proving she was the best singer-songwriter in the game. And like, it's come, you know, we don't have a ton to say about the songs and the muses because this era is not about muses or the lyrics of the songs.
It doesn't feel very genuine, the album, to me. Right. I know that's an unpopular opinion within Swifties, but like the 3 a.m. tracks are more real, but like the main album, no, it feels like a really hollow popular way that she like of saying things that are based on things that have happened to her, but it's not like other albums where it's fully like her just in her own experiences like talking about them, you know. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but
like she wrote Red to get herself over Jake Gyllenhaal. She wrote Red right. as therapy for herself. And then to write in her diary about falling in love with Diana Agron. Like, she right. wrote Midnights to make money, sell tour yeah. tickets, and set records.
Midnights has no soul to it. I'm sorry. It really doesn't. Exactly. There's no, like, you know, with every Taylor album, every single one, there's at least one, but usually several songs where you're just, like, crying in the shower. Like, yes, this song is hitting, right? Like, you know what yeah. I mean? And, like, there's none of that on Midnights for me at all. Like, the 3 a.m. track, okay, sure. Like, should've, would've, could've, or that might be the wrong order. You know which one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That one's really good. Like, I understand. But otherwise, no, not at all. They're, like, fun songs that you, like, put on the radio when you're driving. But, like, they're not heartful or, like, super meaningful, in my opinion, at all. They all feel very commercialized and, like, hollow and TikTok era. Yeah, like,
it does.
Yeah.
Like, and it just... I want Taylor Swift to write a song because she's had her heart broken or because she's in love or because she's right. afraid or because she's trying to process something. I don't want Taylor Swift to write a song to go viral on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe we're asking a lot. Like, what I will say on top of that is that shades how I view the album in this sort of, okay, it's mid, like the era, the album, the content of it all. I do see it as sort of mid because of that. But on the other hand, I do want to say, like, just because it's not what we want doesn't mean Taylor can't do it. Taylor.
Yes, it does.
Taylor, do what you want to do. Chase your accolades. Like, if that is what brings you, you know, I feel like we have to, like, figure out what our purpose in life is. And, like, what, you know, like, for a lot of us from day to day, our purpose in life is just getting through the day and surviving capitalism. For some people, mm-hmm. it's to love, like, to fall in love. For some people, it's to, like, help other people, you know. I think, like, you have to figure out your purpose in life. And like Taylor's purpose in life is to chase accolades and make money. And like, that just to me is like less relatable, less and less and less relatable, especially as I grow older. And I feel like as I grow older, I just have more love for the world and like more compassion and like love for life. I mean, maybe I've just had a good couple months, but like in general, just things that Taylor cares about in some ways seems so trivial. And it's just like, it's not relatable to me. That said, Taylor can do whatever Taylor wants to do. I'm not trying to say she should even do anything differently, but it just changes my take on her art. Yeah. It changes her art, and I consume the art differently, and yeah. it makes it not as good to me. But that's okay. Like, she's not making art solely for Cam and Kara of the controversial Swiftgram podcast,
which
to enjoy.
Is fucked up of her. But I mean, frankly, sure.
I mean, maybe she's even doing this as a personal insult to us because of how annoying we are.
I can see it. Somehow it has to be about us specifically.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But All that said, I will always be interested in what Taylor is up to. I will always want to hear her new music. I will always be hanging around for the next Easter egg hunt. I mean, I'll let Swifties do that because, like, who has the time? Not me. But I will analyze the Swifties' analysis of the Easter egg hunts and steal their copy off their homework and discuss it. But I just feel like I want to say, like, so I feel like so many times we've gotten on here to discuss music and we're like, it's so good and it's so amazing and it's life changing. And it's like, we got on to talk about Folklore. We talked about Evermore. Some of those tracks, I mean, some of those tracks are just a dagger straight to the heart.
Right. You know, the Red Bonus just, tracks too. Those yeah. were great. I mean, yep. I love the Red Bonus tracks, but the, yeah. every, yeah, that's like all the new stuff we've gotten since we started has been amazing, like top tier. And then Midnight's comes and I'm like, okay, what is this?
Yeah, and it just yeah. I mean, I feel like I did catch on to something when I said in an early Patreon review, it feels like she rushed the album just to have an excuse to tour.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I feel like that's probably true.
Yeah, and just to have an excuse to like bring out, I don't think she thought she could put a tour on the backs of just re-records. And there's also other thoughts. Exile ends. Does that mean she has repurchased her masters? I don't know. I've heard the theories. I do not have a take on that. I'm more of a wait and see. Is yeah. March, you know, she hinted at March 3rd on yeah. her Instagram. I believe we're getting Speak Now, but
I'd be curious to see, just because it is weird that she really just stopped with the re-records, never said another word about them after Red.
Well, I mean, she Easter egged very heavily in Bejeweled that Speak Now, something with Speak Now is coming.
But until, besides that, but she's sure. also Easter egged re-records other stuff too, like that weird interview and all that. And yeah. Like, nothing ever came of any of it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, but like, yeah, I mean, I think it's possible Speak Now is coming. I just think it's weird that she hasn't said anything. And I know there was like lawsuits and whatnot, but right. Speak Now, there shouldn't have been. So
there was a lawsuit with Speak Now.
Was there?
Yeah. It was over the title, Speak Now.
Oh. Damn. Yeah,
well, there was rumors she'd call the next album Enchanted or something, like, I don't, you know, just to be able to publish it, because it had to do with Speak Now, those words, but who knows. That said, like, I guess I just feel like saying, I don't know how we got onto a Speak Now tangent, but I guess I just feel like saying, like, you know, the we don't have the most amazing things to say in this review, but that's like okay, you know what I mean, like mm-hmm. it's not that deep, like we're not crazy about the album, we're still crazy about Taylor, you know, or we will be when 1989 re-records come along and we get those bonus tracks or anything. Oh, I guess what yeah. I'm saying about Speak Now is like this whole idea that actually the exile ends because she repurchased her masters, is that like okay, so she may have rushed a tour because tour is how she makes the majority of her money. And as we've seen, yeah. she will soon be a billionaire after the proceeds from the tour roll in. That would help in purchasing those masters. But I don't know. I feel like for some reason, I hope she doesn't repurpose. Like, I want Taylor's version stuff. I want.
Me too.
I want to continue on the journey she started us on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what is coming. I have heard we're getting Speak Now in March. I shared that in the Discord months and months and months ago. Before she did her little Easter egg with her birthday picture, where she seems to hint at 3-3, March 3rd. So we just have to see if that is what comes. But if it is, I want credit for that. But we'll just have to see. But I do think there is, it's reasonable to say this album was rushed and half-assed, and it had to do with her wanting to put a tour on. So that's just our take at large. It's just like, yeah, it's not mm-hmm. her best. That said, I feel like I've said that said like 15 times in the last 15 minutes. Sorry. That said, any music Taylor puts out is in still the top, like, you know, 90 percentile of pop music that's coming out in the time. Like, it's still, you know, for a Taylor album, it's mid. For an album compared to all other albums, it's a really solid, good, even maybe great album compared to other artists right now in the game. You know, yeah, I still think it was better than most albums that came out this year. You know, I was looking like, I think it was definitely better than Harry's House. I think it was better than.
I feel like it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same range, I guess, but still, like, I just, it's still, yeah. We're not sitting here like saying Taylor's music is shit. We're saying compared to her other music, Midnight's is mid. So,
Taylor Swift, you fucking suck. Just kidding.
Don't say that.
I'm just kidding.
She's going to enter a new rep era, which actually, let's keep it up because maybe she will give us Reputation re-records.
Well, rep was a banger. So,
yeah, exactly.
She needs to, like, be in another rep era.
We need a new rep era. Yeah. But it's, but the problem with Taylor is, like, as she becomes wealthier, and not to keep belaboring, but, like, she can't have, she's a billionaire. Billionaires right. are victims of anything but their own greed. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, totally.
Taylor can't have another rep era. There's, she has too much power. She has too much wealth. She is wealth hoarding too much to be like, I'm just a victim. Shut up. When you have $1 billion, you're not a victim of anything. Again, except for your own avarice. Right? Am I, like,
yeah. So no, just, I agree.
And I guess
that's why I still think it's annoying how much, like, her, like, I think it's valid to not like her as long as you don't dislike her for, like, a really stupid reason. Like, I don't know.
She's a mouthy woman.
But if you try and say that her music's not good, well, fuck you. But you can not like her. I don't care. Like, you know, because yeah. I, like, you know what, fair. Like, I don't like her all the time either.
Yeah. I mean, so. I think, yeah. I just, like, the it's, and some of that comes in with Midnights, like the idea of, like, vigilante shit. Like, Taylor, when are you a vigilante? Like, you're worried about vigilantes. Like, vigilantes are gonna, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you're just, Taylor has always aligned herself with the little guy, you know? Look at the song yeah. Mean, and just sort of, like, the change. Like, everybody, I'm just, you know, and then the entire rap era of just, I am just a victim. And I'm not saying Taylor hasn't, like, been a victim of misogyny, maybe homophobia, like, who knows?
She said she had it, so I'm not gonna feel bad for her.
Like, no, in the You Need to Calm Down music video, she very much says, I've been protested for how gay I am. So she claims that. But it's just, like, once you're a billionaire, like, you're not a victim of anything. And I just feel like, yeah, Taylor, like, we've lost it. It's not a girl in her guitar pouring her heart out into the world anymore. So that's just hard to deal with. Anyway, let's jump into the track list. Let's start off Lavender Haze. Kara, any, like, what do you have to say about Lavender Haze?
It's actually one of my favorites on the album. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's not something I listen to, like, all the time, because I don't listen to any of the songs all the time, but I do think it's one of the better ones, and I have to say, like, I have to appreciate it solely for the fact that she kind of dunked on the, like, obsessive Are Taylor and Joe Married fans, even though it didn't really seem to deter them at all, but, like, I still love that she did it, and I love, of course, the all the drama around it of Taylor's being like, she's literally evil, she betrayed us, everyone, cancel your orders, and blah, 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 blah. And then being like, ha ha ha, see, she didn't even mean it. She was talking about the rest of you. Like,
we knew it all along.
Yeah, yeah.
Taylor's
yeah.
always had Gaylor's backs. Fuck the rest of you. Yeah, like,
Taylor loves Gaylor. She fucking hates you guys.
Yeah, and it's just like
just that drama. Like, you have to appreciate it.
Yeah, well, and just like it was funny the other way around too, where Swifties were like, see, we told you so. She hates you fucking queers. You should all go, like, you know, right. just like. And then it was just literally, it was about her not liking that people say that she and Joe are married or engaged secretly. However, sorry that we all listened to the Lover album, Taylor. Like, our bad, I guess. Like, because literally that was just me and Joe are so in love, we're getting married. That was the whole thesis of the album. So sorry. Sorry we listened to your own words.
Right.
Lavender Haze is one of the better songs on the album. It was the first song we got a leak of, and I remember we just heard that that maybe bridge bit, or where she's just like, get it off your chest, get it off my desk, and then it rocks into that last chorus, and we were like, oh my god, this is like Cruel Summer reimagined. Midnight's about to be like Lover but better. Like, we were so excited from that one clip we heard, and then that's like honestly one of the better parts of the album. Like,
I know
when we first got that, it was so exciting. But I think it's a solid song. I also appreciate that Taylor is basically like, talk your shit and go viral. I just need this, you know, love spiral. Like, yes, Taylor, I will continue to talk my shit and go viral. I have quite a lot of fun doing it. It's a solid song. I think it's obviously about Joe. She said it was about the 6-year relationship she'd been in, blah, 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 all the weird rumors around them. Sure, it's a Joe song, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Do we have anything else to say about it?
No.
All right. Maroon. So for me, Maroon is one of those songs that you could cry in the shower to a bit. It's one of the stronger emotional songs Maybe. On the album, I think.
It's the closest one that we have to that besides yeah. Labyrinth. Maybe I can't think of anything else that's sad on the album, but yeah.
Now on the bonus pod, we had a great, I think Amps came through with a Kaler analysis. My favorite analysis we had was the Maroon for Tilly analysis. But sadly, I do just think it's about Jake. And
agree. It's definitely about Jake.
She wore the red ring in the little music video, the little announcement video on TikTok. And she also liked a TikTok that said it's about the Red Muse. Now, I know I have been one to say it's not Taylor on there. I don't know if it is or not. I feel like sometimes it's Taylor, maybe sometimes it's not. I don't know. I feel like I need to walk back some of mine. It's not Taylor. It's not Taylor. Like, maybe it is Taylor on there because I can't see it.
What's not Taylor?
Liking things on TikTok.
Oh.
Like, I can't see an intern being like, let me like this Swiftie theory that literally just says the song's about Jake.
Right.
Like, I can't see an intern being like, yeah, I don't know. Like, does Tree Payne sit there and I don't know. Like,
I feel like there's, I don't know. I don't think it's an intern because, to be honest, I feel like her team's really small because she like
yeah, has it,
really
you're
high
right.
level.
Tree does a
but,
lot.
But yeah, what I would say is that like my guess, I don't think she's just sitting there scrolling on TikTok. I feel like they come up, they like get a, I don't know, maybe a handful of TikToks per month or something. And they're like, hey, Taylor, look at these. And then like from there, she decides what to comment or like, or she might skip over some of them. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just like a theory.
Yeah, I think that like came out of Taylor wanting to affirm that the song is about the Red Muse.
Yeah.
Being Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think
like,
part of her brand strategy though, so like even if it's not an intern, you know, if it's someone on her team who finds the TikToks and gives them to her, they know that part of it is the Muse ship and they're like, who's it about? Kind of like talk around it so they know what's gonna cause stir and stuff. Like, I really just don't see her sitting there in bed being like, yeah, I'm gonna scroll on TikTok. So like, I feel like it's partially, you know, but like, I still think it's true. Like, I do think it's about Jake and like,
right,
you know,
and I hate
she,
that.
They like, yeah.
If you Google Jake Gyllenhaal incense, like he was famous for having an incense collection or something. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And I just, the yeah. dancing in New York, yes, Cornelia Street, yes, yes, but no, because
she's
they danced
been in New
in
York
kitchen.
With everyone.
She's gone to New York with everybody. That was upstate New York, you know, dancing in the kitchen with the refrigerator light or whatever. Like, that literally happens in the music video for Red, I think, the long one.
Getting lost upstate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's upstate New York. She's so like,
that's the thing that, like, to me, like, not to go back on, like, ah, Kaler suck and here's why, but it's just like, I understand that they, like, so deeply tie New York to Carly, but it's like, you have to remember that she really lived there for a long time. So, like, she has, and also, even before that, New York is a place that, first of all, a lot of people go all the time, but especially people in the entertainment industry are, like, always going to New York. Like, of course, just as much as they're always going to LA. Like, so the amount of people that she's been in New York with, people that we know and don't know and like has memories with and might associate with the city, is like massive. So it doesn't, like, I don't think there's the one New York Muse, right? Like, that theory is like dumb to me.
Agreed.
So yeah, like, it's not like it's somewhere super obscure, like she dated someone from Slovakia and she keeps talking about it. Like, no, it's New York. Like, you know, like,
she's been there with everyone
right.
She's ever been rumored to date.
No,
we've got pictures
of
them in New York.
Yeah,
they all have like houses there. John Mayer's right. Got a fucking house there. Jake had that cabin upstate and probably places, I think, in Brooklyn. He had a place in your Brooklyn Bones. Carly lives there. Diana has lived there. She spent time there with Carly. She spent time there with Diana. She spent time there with Harry Styles. She spent time. It's just, even
and
you go back
we
to,
we don't even know, you know, and like Joe, yeah. She seems to associate it with Joe, like,
yeah.
In Cornelia Street, if Cornelia Street's about Joe, like, and that's just because they fell in love there or whatever, you know, like that. isn't because he lived there. He didn't. So it's like, right. That could be anyone. And like, but I do think, like, I understand the Kaler theory of Maroon. Like, it is not bad to be like, Cornelia Street seems to be like followed up with Maroon. Sure, fair enough. There are parallels, but like we always say, I feel like so many parallels are just Kaler repeating themes, as all writers do. It's not that it's about one specific person. Every single song that has anything to do with anything that you associate with another song about this one person has to all be about them. Like, that's just not how I would interpret that. But like, to say Maroon's about Carly, like, fair enough. If you think Cornelia Street's about her, like, I understand why you would say that. But
or Lily. I mean, that's my take. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, this is obviously Lily, you know, the new fresh page on a desk, Cornelia Street. Well, Carly's not a fresh page on the desk at that point. She, you know, they had been friends for years at that point.
So, like, and I mean, Lily, I don't think Cornelia Street's about Carly, but I understand that people do. Right. So like, it would make sense. But yeah, I agree. It's about Jake for sure.
And I felt such a deep sapphicness to this song. But the thing is like, what was that tweet you told me about once where it was like, Gaylers have convinced themselves that straight women just don't even have feelings.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. Like, all, you know, but then again, like, Maroon, it does suck that if it's a straight song, because like, talking about someone's lips being like maroon, or like, what does she say, what's the quote, like, that is so gay, because like, it just does make me think of a woman wearing lipstick, of course, but like, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know why, but I'm living in a planet where there's not the official blue check Taylor Swift Twitter account doesn't like a TikTok about how the song is about the Red Muse, presumably Jake. And it's not. I can't explain, because I do feel like she has kind of done winky things, like with a lot of the 1989 songs. She's like, Harry. Do I think most of the songs are about Harry? Not really. I really don't. So like, I can't explain it to you, but for some reason that like kind of did just solidify for me. I mean, I had already thought Jake because of the red ring. Why is she wearing the red ring? Like, if it's about Lily or Carly or like somebody who's not even associated with the Red album, like,
yeah,
you know, I just, but that said, you know, I get the argument about that sort of Cornelia Street timeline muse dancing in the kitchen, you know, that, but Taylor's dance in the kitchen with everybody. You know,
we've got
Liz Hewitt tweeting about dancing in the kitchen with Taylor. We've got Diana Agron tweeting about dancing in the kitchen with Taylor. Everybody has danced in the kitchen with Taylor. That is just something she does with everybody. So we can't freak out about it too much. Right.
It's also kind of funny to be like, every song's about Carly, because didn't she say they're all about songs throughout her whole life where she's been awake at night or whatever?
Isn't there that one freak on Reddit who's like, every song from Red on is about Carly? Like, they even go back to Speak Now sometimes and say Enchanted is about her. Like, it's just...
Oh, I'm sure. There's a whole theory that Enchanted's about Carly. And then, of course, all disgusting. The Resident tracks are about Carly, even though most of them were probably written during that time. Not the 10-minute version of All Too Well, but the other songs, I think, probably were. You know, they sound very Red era. But they're all about Carly, too. You know, it's just funny.
It's exhausting. But it's fine, you know.
It is.
People can think what they think. We just don't think that. But Maroon, I hate to do it, but it's going to Jake, and it just, you know, something about that relationship made Taylor a bit bonkers, and she just keeps commenting on it as if it was this profound thing. And it's not shocking to me that after we get 10 Minute All Too Well with all of the gravity of that song, we get this song. It just, you know, I kind of, the second I saw the red ring, I was like, it's about Jake, right? And then people came through with some good analysis saying Lily, maybe, you know, or a woman, like, I get it. But no, I just, my final conclusion is to give this song to Jake. Now, if somebody else has a different final conclusion, that is fine. I do want to say, but that's just where I'm at on it. And I kind of hate being there, but yeah, that's what I have to say about Maroon. Let's talk about Anti-Hero.
I do love Anti-Hero.
I like the Bleachers remix of it the best, which is so weird for me because I don't like Jack. Like, I feel like Jack always muddles up things, like that soft pop core thing he does. I just don't like it. Like, I want different types of music from her, but I like his version of it. Do you have any hot takes on Anti-Hero? Like, okay, the music video is filled with references to the past, you know, there's the ghost, there's the one that has daisies on it. Is that a Kaler clue? The one that wears the, has like the toga from one of the Red songs. You know, there's different. This red sunglasses, is that a Diana clue? I don't have any hot takes on
Anti-Hero.
I don't
think Anti-Hero is really very romantic.
It's not. No,
so
I'm not
really
just saying. But like in the music video, she's like representing different stuff from her life. Is she representing, you know, the ghost that she's people she's ghosted? Is one of the ghosts Carly? Is one of the ghosts Diana? I don't have hot takes on it though. Like I don't have a strong feeling about it. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
I mean, maybe I don't either. I think it here is a good is like a bop, and I think it was absolutely made to go viral on TikTok. But it's still a good song. But there's it's not really very deep. It's just like fun.
Yeah. Taylor again seems to try and do this thing that she's been doing since 1989, I guess, where she sort of parodies herself. But I don't know, like she's trying to act very self-aware in the song, but is it? Somebody else tell me. I don't have a hot take. I don't have any hot takes on Anti-Hero, but it is a bop. But I like the Bleachers version of it best. Okay, let's get to Snow on the Beach.
Do love Snow on the Beach.
Do love Snow on the Beach. This was the first full leak we got. It is one of the stronger songs on the album. And I was, again, once we got this leak, I was very excited. I was like, oh, fuck, this album's going to be good. But like the leaks, the way the leaks rolled in, we really got, you know, catfished a bit, I feel like, on Midnights as an album. Hilarious that she acts like Lana Del Rey is on this album. She's not. Like, don't lie. Like, I can't hear any voice
No,
there.
Seriously. So one of the funniest things is her being like, I am so honored and excited to work with one of my favorite artists of all time. And she's like, yeah, you're gonna have your mic turned off though, like, just so you know,
like, you're gonna have to record this with my foot in your mouth, like you're gonna have to be sucking on my toes and see if you can get the lyrics out. Oh, you can't. Okay, well, that was your chance. Like, that's, I feel like, how it went.
100%. I need to know what the fuck Phoebe Bridgers did to get a whole verse in the song that they're on together, because no other woman has ever.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll learn more about that once the tour starts. I mean, the good thing is, as we've kind of poo-pooed some of the album at the top of this, like, the good thing is we are going to get tour and we're going to learn more. The tour, I hope, will bring the era together. But anyway, who knows?
Oh,
who
like
knows?
Speeches and stuff.
Yeah, we'll get the speeches. We'll get visuals and symbology and, you know, during the songs, like, what outfits is she wearing? Like, you know, stuff like that. We'll just have to see. But, I am going to proudly say this is a Tilly anthem. I am, because for a couple reasons. So I think this can be linked, this song, the clues in the song can very much be linked back to Taylor's house in Rhode Island, where Taylor and Lily spent Thanksgiving of 2016 together. Couple things, Snow on the Beach. Of course, the house is on the beach. It snowed. It literally snowed that week. Like, it flirted. Did it stick? No, you know, it didn't, like, you couldn't build a snowman, but did snow fall out of the air according to weather reports? Yes, it did. You know, I love a succinct, a matching weather report.
Right.
That's, you know, that's our bread and butter here at What I Will Say Industries. And also Gigi Hadid said it was her favorite song on Midnights, and it reminded her of, you know, the cold times up at in Taylor's Rhode Island beach house. Furthermore, there is a mention of Aurora Borealis. Rhode Island, that area is one of the few places you can sometimes see the northern lights, the Aurora Borealis, from that green in the sky. Sometimes you can see it from there, maybe not all the time, but it just says I searched for it. So looking up at the sky at the Aurora Borealis, well, that's not something she's doing in Florida. That's not something she's doing in Big Sur, you know, but at Rhode Island, yeah, you might look up to the sky and search for it. Now Lily
or
was...
sorry,
no, go ahead.
She's just saying their eyes are green, and it's obviously about Diana Agron.
Well, it would be about Carly. Don't be insane.
Carly also has blue eyes, though, when she needs
Carly
to.
Carly has, like, blue eyes depends, when, you know, she needs to have blue eyes, and green eyes when she needs to have green eyes, Kara.
I wish.
Now, back to the TTB re-education camp with you.
If Taylor Joy ever break up, I hope she dates a guy, because it will be a guy with brown eyes, and then, like, we'll start getting songs about brown eyes.
And Carly,
like,
will have brown
well,
eyes.
Well, if you think about it, if, like, the lights are out, you might not even be able to tell that, like, Carly's eyes might look a little bit, like, brown because of the dark and the root. Like, how are they gonna do it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this song very much is giving Lily. I will say I saw a flex of what could have been light, but it might have just been you passing by unbeknownst to me, is giving, long story short, Joe vibes, like you're a comment passing by, like whatever.
Yeah.
Is it a theme Taylor's just revisiting, or is the song actually about Joe? Could be either or. I am going to happily give this one to Lily. As far as we know, Joe is not at that trip. If a photo someday surfaces of like our first Thanksgiving together, if somebody posts, like somebody that was on one of those trips posts and Joe's there, I will rescind. But until we confirm Joe's presence there, which photos never have, and like they posted a picture of their dinner table and everybody there, there was not like an extra place setting. Like, is it possible Joe was there and just not in any of the pictures because they were trying to be secret? Sure, maybe, but until we get him there, I'm going to take this song for Lily. I think this is referencing a very specific time, that 2016 Thanksgiving trip out at the Rhode Island house. Lily was there. Carly wasn't there. Joe wasn't there that we know of. Diana wasn't there. You know, I just very
oh,
much.
Oh, she was.
She was. I mean, if you go to some corners of the internet, she absolutely was. But here in reality, no, she wasn't. So I love this song. I find myself saying like life is emotionally abusive a lot. Like if I'm talking with someone and they're like, oh, why is it this way? Why is it that way? I find myself saying like life's emotionally abusive. Like it just is. And there's almost like a freedom in just admitting that like so many things in life can suck. But if you're in love, it doesn't matter almost. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I also like, you know, I think it's funny that she mentioned like my flight was awful. Thanks for asking. Like Taylor,
like, girl, it's your plane.
It's your fucking plane. And we literally know, like, I'm so, like after JetGate, I think it's funny that she like left that in there, but
I know, right?
One of the stronger songs on the album. I think it's sapphic. I'm giving it to Lily. Also just like weird, but fucking beautiful. Let's go ahead and say it. That's queer coded. Like it could be like just being like, oh, it's so fucking weird. Like I'm falling in love with a woman. That's just your gay theme, you know? I'm unglued thanks to you, kind of gay panic. Like I'm happily giving this song to Lily and the Tilly Thanksgiving. I think it's an anthem, so we love to see that. You're on your own, kid. Track 5,
baby voice song number 1.
Yeah, I don't know that
you're
I have
smoking with your boys.
I don't know that I have anything to even say about this song. I think it's about a guy. I think, like, I wait patiently. He's going to notice me. You guys know me in general with Taylor, who I believe to be bisexual and write songs about both men and women. If we get he, him pronouns, I tend to kind of trust that. Probably not every time. Style is one example I'll give. But I just do think, like, if she says he, it's probably about a he. Like, not every time. Maybe not every time. But that's just, like, my general vibe I go towards. I don't know. Is this about what? Who do you think the song's about?
I don't think it's really about someone. It's more about her. But like the guy in the beginning, it sounds like someone from high school or like growing up, not anyone that we would know of. Maybe even earlier than high school, like middle school.
But I mean, I didn't choose this town. Like, I feel like Taylor's always like she made her family move to Nashville. Like, but maybe she's talking about Hendersonville, where she actually lived, which is like 15 minutes north of Nashville and a more small town.
Or even
vibe.
Pennsylvania. I don't know. When did she move? Yeah. How old was she?
Like, 15, 14, like
yeah, it could have been
she
earlier.
Could be looking
maybe
back
it's about
to middle school.
Yeah, I mean it sounds like she's a little kid in this, like in the song, at least to me, from what I remember. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but like it sounds like she's kind of talking about different phases of life, and the first part where she's talking about he's gonna notice me is like little, like young,
yeah,
like first crush.
Tara hates the baby voice, if you can't tell.
I will say it's awful.
This song doesn't get a lot of play from me, but the bridge fucking slaps.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
I also feel like Taylor literally just wanted to write a song called You're On Your Own, Kid, and sort of erected the song around that theme, and I feel like it could have been better. Does that make sense?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Genius says, You're On Your Own, Kid recounts a young person who longs for love but eventually understands that they are on their own as the song progresses towards its conclusion. The verses take you through her younger years, younger life, and music builds as she matures through the song. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Taylor looking back at, like, all the dumb shit she's done to impress men.
Agreed.
So, I don't know. I don't have a lot of, you know, much else to say about the song. Bridge slaps. I'm not crazy about it. How about Midnight Rain?
That's a good one.
It's fine. It doesn't get a lot of play for me, except that like that the that's the chorus is good. Just that like.
Yeah. I like the production of it. Not so much the lyrics. I don't really notice them or care about them very much. But
I think this like, is obviously about some guy she was with in high school or something early.
100% agreed. Yeah.
And maybe like I think it's revisiting the sort of you know, Dorothea and, you know, 'Tis the Damn Season vibe of like high school vibes. Like, I don't know. Could it secretly be about a girl from high school? Sure. Like what I whatever it, she says he, I assume it's some guy from high school. And I, you know, I don't have anything else to say other than that. It's a fine song.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, question. What do you think about question?
It's supposed to be about Harry, surely, because she mixes samples up Out of the Woods.
Yeah, that is interesting, and I do not know what to make of it. I wish she had sampled.
Is it supposed to be about like I've seen Swifties and whatever say that it's about her and Harry on New Year's, but I feel like it would have just been some private moment or something if it was supposed to be about Harry, like, because there was no friends there on New Year's and like no one was clapping and laughing and whatever the fuck. Like, it sounds like some, like, I know Swifties don't understand that like some moments have happened out of our line of vision, but like I don't know. Like, it seems weird. Like, I don't know who it's about. I mean, it's supposed to be about Harry.
I don't think it's about the New Year's kiss. I do not think it's about the New Year's kiss, because that's not a crowded room. That's a street. That's a crowded street.
Agreed.
Like, Taylor's not dumb. She's not like, what's a word that I can say? I'll call it a room. I feel like I will actually feel the Kissgate analysis here, because I don't like.
But they also weren't clapping and laughing like and all that shit. Like, they weren't even kissing.
Yeah, but have you,
like, you know what I, like,
have you seen the what is that show, the Wendy Williams, where everybody like claps, she makes everybody clap to say if they're kissing or not. Like, I don't, it's so dumb. I'll field it, because I do not know how to tie this to Haler. Like, if she's trying to Haler bait, like she is with that intro. Now, if Out of the Woods is a genuine song, I think it's about Diana, but I don't know that it's a genuine song. I've always been open to the idea that she was just trying to explicitly reference Harry to sell records.
That's my theory on it. I don't think it's about anyone. I think it's just a song being like, Haler happened, Haler happened, Haler happened, Haler happened, Haler happened, Haler happened, like to the beat of Out of the Woods. But yeah, I don't think it's like a genuine song.
For
so I don't know. I mean, yeah,
I do think she's trying to elicit Haler, and I remember, you know, she's trying to get people to talk about Harry. I cannot fault the Kalers for tying this to Kissgate, because like, what's the only scandal about an alleged kiss that Taylor's ever had? It's just,
but also no one ever said it's a scandal in the song. Like, it's just,
no, but I just, what is the, like, I'm just trying to think of another, like, I think we all know. While I agree, like, Swifties need to let go of the idea that not everything, like, everything she writes about is something that's a public moment that we can tie back to something. I do agree that. On the other hand, I don't know what other kiss she's talking about. And without another kiss to tie it to, I cannot blame people for tying it to that alleged kiss moment. Like, laughing and people making fun of you for a kiss that happened like that. Loosely, that's what happened with Kissgate. Like, I mean, were they even kissing? I don't think so. In fact, in recent footage that showed up or like got zoomed in on or announced, like analyzed more, zoom in enhance, it even looks like at one point Carly pushes her away. So I, you know, and there's also footage where Carly's allegedly making out with Josh, or is she fighting with him? I don't
know. The thing is, like, I don't think they kissed at Kissgate, and I don't think everyone was clapping and like making fun of, like, I don't think it was like a whole thing where everyone's like, oh my god, they're finally kissing. That's the vibe I get from the song, is that it's supposed to be like two people who like each other but they won't like do anything about it, and then finally they do, and then all their friends are like, oh my god, finally, you know, like, that's the vibe I get from it. But that's not something that would have happened ever in public, so I don't really know either. I mean, I know this is very controversial, either her and Harry did have something at some, you know, maybe not that deep, something, and that's kind of something that happened, or it's just about someone else, but she's like, eh, I need a Harry song. Because, like, she's trying to, you know,
Can I say
a big talking point.
Can I say one thing, though? Illicit Affairs, I almost, there's not a lot of songs in Taylor's discography that I would bet money are about Karlie Kloss, just because so much of it can go to Lily. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they're not about Karlie, but how my degree of confidence on Kaler songs, there's a lot where I'm like, you know, you can make an argument for a couple different things because of like the way the timeline unfolded, how we didn't really get a breakup album between after 1989 until kind of Folklore. So then it's sort of like, well, when did she comment on the Karlie situation? But Illicit Affairs, I do just think it seems that going out for a run, like who else cheated to be with Taylor? Maybe Zoe.
Could have been anyone.
I mean, could have been anyone, but like the idea about, you know, you, what is the line in Illicit Affairs about colors?
Yeah, you show me colors, you know, I can't see with anyone else. I mean, the only thing is, like, I really just don't think Kaler happened. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know.
I
like,
think
it,
they hope
it could be about her, but also if it did, like, I do think it would have been back in, like, 2014. And, like, that is a long time in between writing about it. But, of course, she could have just been reflecting on, like, her but whole life with Folklore.
Is a reflective album, and Midnights by her own omission definitely is. And just, like, you painted my nights a color I've searched for since. Like, I like that analysis.
I don't
think
questions about Karlie, though.
I don't know, but I like some. If I'm being honest, I respect some of the Kaler analysis on this. Do I think it's about Karlie? I don't know if I would say that. I feel I don't have a final take on that. I don't think I have a final take on question. I think I just have to sit with it more. Let's get a tour performance or like some like what else visuals on tour can we see? Like, I mean, honestly, I hope Question isn't one of the songs that gets played. Like, I want like bobs and bangers. Like, Question's not that great of a song to me, so.
I agree, it's not.
I think it's interesting that like Taylor's commenting on something, but she's also throwing in some she her pronouns throughout here. Like, okay, she's talking to the muse, like who's the she? Like, I don't know, it's sort of a complicated song for me. I just don't have a final take. I'm sorry for that, but I think that's okay. That's okay, though. I don't have a confident final take. I respect some of the Kaler analysis that's been done on the song. I feel like for Swifties, the song's obviously about Harry in some way. Fine. I don't think that... I don't know. I don't have a final take, though.
Yeah, no. Me neither.
Okay. Vigilante shit. I mean, do we have a lot to say? Like, TikTok bait about Scooter.
TikTok bait. So obviously about Scooter. There's nothing really to say.
I respect when people say, picture me wrist deep in your ex-wife. Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I respect that. I do think it's kind of gay how she's a little flirty with women in the song. Like, okay.
She looks so pretty. I mean,
driving in your Benz. But also, I don't dress for women. I don't dress for men. It's suggesting that when she's not dressing for revenge, she does dress for both women and men. She's bisexual.
Yeah.
Confirmed. Sure. I like that. You know, it's kind of a fun boppy song. I might not skip it every time, but like, whatever. Bejeweled. What do you think about Bejeweled?
I don't like Bejeweled. It's so annoying.
My God.
I'm sorry.
One of my favorite songs on the album.
No.
I don't know why, but like, Bejeweled took me places. I love the music video as well.
I like the music video.
I do think it's about Calvin. Sorry.
I guess. I don't know. I didn't think of it as really being about anyone in particular.
Well, who do you think the baby love in the song is?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I just think it's, you know, I haven't seen you in forever. It's very much like, I've got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's older than us. I haven't seen you in a couple months. Like,
true.
I think it's about her going out when, you know, I can tell the band, I don't know if I have a boyfriend or not. She and Calvin, of course, you know, as... and we feel like has been confirmed by behind the scenes info. It's sort of like, yeah, they were together, but the last few months of it, or the last portion of it, was just a total sham. And her just trying to like run out the clock to have a boyfriend for like longer than a year because she never had before. I believe that. I think they were cheating on each other. I mean, Taylor's own admission, they were basically cheating on each other.
Yeah. She says as much.
She says as much. So I think, you know, I don't know. Why are UK Swifties reclaim the land? That's my favorite legacy
that
of this song,
hilarious.
That lyric. But I also feel like the music video when she dances around with Dita Von Teese is her saying, like, I was sleeping with women too when I was cheating on Calvin.
Sure.
yeah, I think I like this song, and I think it's about Calvin. So, yay. Labyrinth.
I do like Labyrinth, but definitely about Joe, if I had to guess.
I would guess, too. I feel like this is about her and Joe overcoming something. Maybe something she comments on and bigger than the whole sky. I don't know that I'm going to get into my whole conspiracy theory about that on the main pod. I don't care to maybe comment on it publicly, really. But as you guys know, I am of the belief that Taylor and Joe have had their ups and downs, perhaps possibly even a broken engagement, gone through trauma together, gone through breakups, gotten back together, gone through cheating allegations, perhaps even actual cheating. And I just think this is like her, you know, refalling in love with him, or maybe about recovering from the fallout of Taylor Swift's Over Party and falling in love with Joe during that time. I don't know, but I do. It's just got Joe's grubby little blonde fingerprints all over it to me.
It does.
Good song though. Good song. Karma. Do you have anything to
Karma's
say about Karma?
Fun. It's not about anyone besides Scooter, really. And then I guess the Karma is the boy in screen coming in hunts you.
That's
me.
Joe. Yeah, that's cute. I don't know how Kaylor is, or like late stage Kaylor, you know, ignore that. Or Joe is fake truther. Like, I don't know how they ignore that. It's just
they're always trying to say it's her, like, poking fun at the fact that they're not really together. Like, that's what their thing is for everything about Joe.
I guess. I don't know. It just rings as genuine to me. But maybe that's just my own confirmation bias, right? Like, there's stuff in her music
I mean,
say this is not
that's
genuine.
That's reality's confirmation bias, too. Like,
Yeah, too. But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I will sit down and say, like, okay, sure, she named style after Harry, but that's not genuine. And it really could be. But that, so
sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
it could
the
be.
Same way I can sit down and say that and like feel like that's kind of rooted in logic and a fair sort of assumption that that was a kind of head
right
to get people to look
but
at
there's
Harry
a big difference between a couple month long
thing with the
two biggest people at the time,
sure.
You know, versus like a 6 almost 7 year relationship that's pretty private and like she keeps talking about him, keeps
fair
being
enough.
Seen with him, you know, it's like, come on,
fair enough. I mean, can I just like highlight of the I'm not gonna say it, never mind.
No, say it.
No, I'll share a story on the bonus pod. Next time you and I are on the bonus pod together, I just want to share something. But about like Joe denialism and how stupid it can be. Karma. Can we relive briefly your reaction to getting the lyrics? Because we got the Karma lyrics leaked. And Kara had such
I thought had to be fake. I was like, these are horrific. Like, they're so bad. Like, just honestly, they mostly are. And like this, the extreme down spiral of like quality from Folklore and Evermore and even like the red bonus tracks and all that to like, Karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me. I was like, this can't be real. But even though it's like, okay, you can have one campy song, but the lyrics to like every song, I was like, none of these are good.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Sadly, to an extent, I feel like the lyricism on this album isn't very good.
It's not at all.
But there's some Joe clues in there, and obviously she's trying to brag about Karma being on her side through her trials and tribulations. I assume she's directing most of this back at Kanye and Scooter and Scott. Take your pick. I don't really care. I'm sick of talking about those feuds to an extent, but whatever.
I know, it's kind of like, girl, you need to just stop talking about it.
I mean, she can do whatever she wants, but I will get bored of it. And that's all I'm going to say. Like, Taylor,
I
do have ADHD.
I don't feel that bad for you. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, get over it. You have $1 billion. Go cry.
It's hard to feel like, you know. Anyway, Sweet Nothings, obviously about Joe to me.
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen theories, even from within our community, that it's about her mother.
There's a very weird obsession with her Taylor that they need to make songs about her parents.
Well, let's not call our own listeners weird, but like, I get the knee jerk to say, okay, but is every song really about Joe? But I just have bad news. Like, yes, they just are.
Well, I don't think it's weird just to say, oh, this song could be about Andrea. But it's like there is a weird Gaylor fixation on making so many songs about her parents.
But it's true. But I feel like Swifties do the same thing. Maybe with like different, like Swifties try and say like every song where she says something bad about somebody has to be like Kanye or Scooter, because Joe could have never done anything bad.
Right. Of course.
Like, it's through Taylor's fandoms that, you know, we do just sort of we'll do a little mental gymnastics to kind of avoid an outcome. Like, so you should see some of the mental gymnastics Swifties are doing to try and say Taylor isn't a cheater. When she dead ass is like,
I thought didn't care.
Actually, Taylor never cheated. And then they start like looking up calendars and trying to be like, she was ovulating. And not really, but I'm just saying it sounds that ridiculous to me. Like them just being like, no, because if we reference like,
oh my gosh,
like the documents that, like she says, you know, he brought me back to life is just her meeting him, not her cheating with him, like whatever. So I do just like defending. I think the song's very obviously about Joe. Joe wrote on the song. So that's all I need to, you know, William right. Bowery, William Bowery, which is just like, girl, why is William Bowery still a thing? Anyway, he shouldn't be. I would respect it if she would just start putting Joe's name on there. You know, Grammy winner, Joe Allen. And so then it's like, okay, is Zoe William Bowery? Maybe. But not really. If Joe hadn't written on this song, I would say, I guess, like, but Sweet Nothings is kind of a romantic refrain. Sweet Nothings is something you whisper into, like, a lover's ear. And I don't know. I think Taylor would be more explicit if a song were about Andrea, too. Like, she's always kind of owned that, like, she's made that very public. But
she also does the baby voice in this whole song, which I hate. So
I think Joe likes baby voice.
Oh, they definitely
Joe Alwyn diaper fetishes
out there. Like the foot fetish thing, 100% I believe it.
Also the pebble that they found in Wicklow, that's a place in England, right? Or the Lakes District or something. Like
I spy a little tired eye.
Joe Alwyn diaper fetishist. Confirmed.
That's so real.
Maybe that's what Taylor's saying. We can't know, allegedly. I've heard this song is obviously about Joe to me, but whatever, it's fine if you don't think that. Mastermind,
that's a good song actually. I like that
it
one.
It's cute. Yeah. I think this song's about Joe.
I agree, it's about Joe.
It's very much giving, you know, some of the themes. It sort of revisits this idea of like Taylor's a bit obsessed with Joe existed before Taylor knew about him. Like the idea right. of invisible string. Now this is the converse of invisible string. Invisible string posits it's just fate. Taylor comes back and revisits the idea of like, well, what's the thing that brought us together? Was it fate or was it, you know, my own scheming? And I think it's just Taylor likes, and I can kind of relate and understand, like whenever I start dating someone new, if they're not from where I'm from, I always try and figure out if we were in the same city at the same time ever. Like if there's just something charming about, like, you know, somebody coming into your life and like being important in it and then being like, did our paths ever cross before? And I think Taylor's just a bit obsessed with that concept. You know, I think love is so important to her. Joe's love is so important to her, and just this idea that they had to go through a lot to find each other. I think she's just titillated by that, and I think we'll probably keep getting songs like this, but everything from Long Story Short to this song to Invisible String, she's just like, okay, but like you existed before I even knew about you. That's crazy. I think
right.
So we fielded sure. lots of arguments that this is about different women in her life, or this is, you know, Taylor commenting on, you know, Carly, on Lily, on all the girls she's been with. I think you can make some fair arguments, but at the end of the day, I just see Joe's grubby little blonde fingerprints all over it. And I can't help that.
Oh, yes.
There's a big old dick print on it. And, you know, it's Joe's.
Right. 100%.
But, you know, she's titillated by this idea of like, what if me and Joe weren't together? What if we were together? What if we had met at a different time? Were you a comet passing by? You know, which is why that snow on the beach line makes me think of Joe. But Mastermind is cute. I won't always skip it.
I think
it's a fun song. It's a good song. You know, I like it. But I do, sadly, my final take is that it's about Joe. You know, I've fielded the other arguments, but I they just didn't do enough for me to get the Joe scent off of it.
Yeah.
The grubby man scent. The Great War. What's your take on the Great War? Do you like it?
It's okay. I think it's also about Joe. And yeah. then when they almost broke up, or they did break up and got back together.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I agree. I mean, that's just what I think it's about.
To me, this is a revisit of whatever problems they had with Afterglow, or perhaps Joe continuously finds himself in situations where Taylor thinks he has cheated on her. Now, not to put on my conspiracy hat, but like, I sort of fuck with the idea that at one point or another he has, and he has just gaslit her into thinking he hasn't. And that an Afterglow and the Great War would sort of support that consensus. I've seen a lot of very, not to be homophobic, but limp-wristed arguments about violets are a gay flower, and, you know,
oh, shut up.
Planting a, what is the garden they plant in this? A memory garden, and poppies are in the memory garden are something to do with Carly, or a gay flower. But like,
I promise Taylor Swift knows nothing about queer symbolism in history, guys. I promise. Well,
a memory garden was something that happened in like World War One, I believe, in England. I think that was like, I'm not saying they didn't do it in US or other European countries too, but I do believe like poppies. I know that in England, you're supposed to wear a poppy on like their Memorial Day. You're supposed to wear a poppy to remember the people who fought in World War One. So like, again, people are like, this is obviously about her lesbian American lover, Carly Kloss. And it's like, well, English symbology. Like, it's like English tradition, like poppies being involved with a memory garden and a war. That's a thing that happens in England. So like, I don't know. Could she, like, my knuckles were bruised like violets. Like, is that because violet is a purple color, or is it because violet is a gay flower? I don't know, but Cam's razor does dictate 9 times out of 10. I have to say it's because it's a purple color. So that's just where I stand. I don't know. I feel like this is obviously about a time where Taylor thought Joe cheated on her, and then they got through it. She comments on a similar situation, or the same situation in Afterglow, ties back to Joe very well, in my opinion. It makes me sick that Kaylers are saying that this is Taylor forgiving Carly for portraying her secrets to Scooter. Because it's not.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So, well,
it's not. And, you know, it's not. But that is a one Gaylor take on it. I just do not believe. And I think it's funny with all our Project Windmill talk, if you know, you know, that like, we did get a song where Taylor was like, well, I thought so too, guys, but he didn't. Like, I'm not saying Taylor wrote this song as a response to Project Windmill theorizing. It's my greatest hope that she has no idea that the podcast exists, and never does. But I just think, like, I don't think it's insane to think that Taylor and Joe have had issues with faithfulness in one way or another. Not meaning anybody cheated for sure, but possibly she thought he cheated. So this all ties back to Joe very well to me. And for a second, when I first heard this song, I thought it was Taylor forgiving Joe for cheating. I had to re-listen. I had a smart Joe shipper anon that came in my anons and corrected me, as much as I hate to admit. Like, yeah, I was, my early reading of the song was stupid. And it really does seem more like there was a fight about it, and she forgave him and knew that his honor was true or whatever. So Joe song, as many of these are. How do we even want to comment on Bigger Than the Whole Sky?
I guess we shouldn't, except for on the Patreon.
Yeah, I stand by everything I've said on the Patreon.
But that is a popular theory too. Like, we aren't the only ones saying it. No. So.
And I'm not going to say any more than that. I understand people's sensitivity to that issue, and I understand that that is such a dark thing to have an analysis on a song for, and I'm almost apologetic that that is my take on the song, so we're just not even gonna talk about it.
It is.
How about Paris? What do you think?
Love Paris, actually. That's one of my faves on the album.
Yeah,
but I also think it's about Joe, so
sadly me as
well. I wish it wasn't, because when it first came out, I was like, this song is gay,
right?
Because it has the somewhere part where the culture's like,
clever.
Yeah, she's like, I want to transport you. And it is kind of like, oh, Taylor, like, why do you need to
hide
take them away to somewhere else? But in her mind, her and Joe are oppressed, obviously, as rich, straight, cis white people. Like, everyone knows that you can't really be more oppressed than that. But, like, you know, in her mind, they are, right? They're, like, these underdogs, and they're, like, have to run and hide, and, like, the world is against them, when that's obviously couldn't be further from the truth. But, like, I think it makes sense for her, because that's the thing, is, like, people are like, oh, Taylor's obviously gay because she talks about this. No, Taylor obviously has a victim complex. Like, she thinks her and Joe are, it's, like, the world against them. She does think that.
I like, will say.
It's not because she's gay.
In her defense, I mean, I do think she's broad gay, bi. In her defense, I will say, I cannot imagine the pressures of being in a relationship at that level of fame. Yeah, and sure. Yeah, is it boring to like even consider that when we've had famous artists commenting on the pressure of the press, the public eye, but like people having things to say about your personal life when they don't know you is psychotic. Like it is a lot to deal with, and it probably feels like oppression. And when Taylor says, take me to the lakes where all the poets went to die, I don't belong, my beloved, and neither do you. Does it sound delusional as fuck if you're a billionaire white lady with a white boyfriend that are presumably cishet? Like, does it sound so delusional? Yes, but I think most people, you just can't conceptualize the pressure of being in the public eye. Particularly to the
agreed.
Vast
but I'm like, girl, don't
Taylor
include
is.
Joe in it. He didn't do shit.
Well, like, he dates her.
And I understand she's like, but I mean, he doesn't belong. Yeah, okay.
Can we talk about like, you know, the idea that Joe actually sacrificed his career to be with Taylor, that sort of is popular in some toe shipping. Like,
yeah,
I do think Taylor thinks they're victims. I just do. Are they victims or not?
Absolutely.
That is a conversation for other people to have. Yeah. But does Taylor think they're oppressed? Yes. So
yes.
I also
100%.
Let me just say, like, honorable mention to the Tilly analysis on this album, on this song. Honorable mention to that for sure. I loved the Tilly Nation. She's got it on her blog. If you go check her blog out at tillynation.tumblr.com, you know, she's linked up where Lily was even friends with like one of the Kardashian girls. So your ex-friend's sister could be Kourtney Kardashian, who did like date a Z-lister. Like it comes together. It does come together. But the problem is it's the Joe fingerprint that I keep referencing. This idea of, no, I didn't see the news. Like I was hiding away. That is just what she did with Joe. And I just,
right.
I just, you know, I like the Tilly argument on this song. I like it more than I like a lot of the other like Gaylor honorable mention analysis that I've given on this album. It's one of the better ones. I do have respect for that analysis. But at the end of the day, if you point a gun to my head and say, make a final call, I am giving the song about Joe. It follows the typical themes of I'm hiding away with this person and I'm fucking obsessed. It's hard for me to think Taylor would say, I'm so in love that I might stop breathing about anybody but Joe.
I 100% agree with that.
It's just,
yeah.
I feel like I just understand her obsession with him, and I don't respect it, but I know it. And I know it when I see it.
100%, yes.
I know it when I see it.
I do wonder who the person she hooked up with ages ago was. I mean, some guy.
Yeah, but I mean, Taylor
when it first when it first came out, though, I did understand, like, I was like, oh, that's a kind of interesting analysis, people saying that it was like about the other person or whatever, but
right.
Nah,
yeah, I think if you
it's
want
someone talking to her,
if we want to get into it, like, your ex-friend's sister met someone at a club and he kissed her, turns out it was that guy you hooked up with ages ago, some wannabe Z-lister, and the outfits were terrible, 2003 unbearable, did you see the photos? That first quote, that's all in one set of quotes. I think that is a random character in this song talking to Taylor. So it's not,
yes,
Joe 100%. Saying it to Taylor, and it's not Taylor saying it to
100%.
Joe. That's like Tree Payne or something sticks her head in the room while Joe is eating Taylor out and, you know, whatever. Like, I'm just like, you know, it's right. like, it's like that bit of Mean Girls.
Petty shit. I'm with me and my oppressed boyfriend.
It's like that sign of Mean Girls, like Tree Pain, like where Amy Poehler's like, do kids want anything? Like yeah, some yeah, snacks? Yeah. Oh, God, you keep me long. It's like Tree Pain sticks her head in. And she's like, your ex-friend's sister met someone at a club and he kissed her. And Taylor's like, Joe's like eating her pussy. And Taylor's like, no, go away, Tree. Like,
she's pegging Joe. She's
yeah, like, Taylor's pegging Joe.
I didn't hear about that actually. Thanks though.
Taylor's like, no, I didn't, but thanks though. And then she's like, Joe, back on your hands and knees. That's what I see that scene as. And then Taylor takes over the narrative after that, and there's no more quotes.
So yes.
That's how she kind of communicates that in the grammar of the song. Also the idea of like cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. Like, Taylor's obsessed with calling Joe poor and just being like, yeah, he can only afford cheap wine. It just, it has Joe's grubby little blonde dick prints all over it. Like, I don't understand it.
She's literally obsessed with saying that Joe's poor when he's not. Like,
I don't understand it. I don't respect it, but I do know it when I see it.
Remember when we watched Parasite and like the couple, the rich couple are like low-key role-playing
yes
being poor
yeah, Parasite,
and you
yeah.
were like, that's Taylor and Joe, and I was
yeah.
like, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's true.
If you guys haven't seen Parasite, it won the best movie of the year like a couple years ago, and it's sort of, it's about the plight of these, you know, I don't know, housekeepers and like these working class people compared to these rich people. And they sort of sneak into the house of the rich people. And at one point the rich people start having sex and they start role playing as the poor people. And they're like, oh yeah, you're so poor. You smell bad. Like, and I was like, that's Taylor and Joe.
Yeah.
That's Taylor and Joe. Like, it just is
so
like,
real.
It's fucking disgusting. But she likes the LARP as like middle class.
Right. She loves it.
Yeah. Cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. As if Taylor couldn't snap her fingers and like have the world's nicest champagnes flowing into her mouth like 5 seconds later. But
especially by the time her and Joe started dating, like 2016, like she was already super rich. I could even see it maybe with someone from a long time ago, beginning of her career, but no, like she's already worth at least yeah. $250,000.
Can I give, like, this is the only song that like titillated my Swift Grand boner. It gave like a tiny rush of blood because at least she and Diana did go to Paris. Like, they were in Paris. Like, there was like a little, like just a little flutter of blood, and then it,
what do you
went
call it,
soft
when
again.
Like half soft, half hard,
like semi.
Yeah, 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 you had a semi.
No, it was a quarter, maybe an eighth. Like, it wasn't even
yeah.
a semi. Like, no, because it was just Joe is all over the song. Just that,
right.
I don't know what's going on because I'm not reading the news because I'm too busy, like, with my new love. That is,
I'm too busy sucking his dick right now in this hotel room.
Joe and Taylor also went to Paris. If we want to do more clues about that, like, they publicly, very much publicly went to Paris. That's not to say, of course, Taylor could privately go to Paris with somebody, and I'm sure with like everybody she's been with, she probably took a secret trip to Paris if she likes it. But, you know, I will say that as well. But I, you know, at least Swift Grand went to Paris. But yeah, romance is not dead if you keep it just yours. That's what she and Joe did. I mean, I guess that's
yeah,
what
that's
she and every woman
tough.
She dated as well. But again, I'm sorry. I just can't get away from the scent of Joe. So
right,
it's all over the song. Fun song, you know. Fun song.
Yeah,
one of the better ones on the album, I think, or at least one of the funner ones. How about High Infidelity?
I think it's about her cheating on Calvin and or Tom with Joe.
Same. Do we have anything to say about Zoe Kravitz and her song High Fidelity, her show High Fidelity? I mean, do we?
I think it's a kind of fun coincidence, but I don't think it actually means anything.
Yeah,
and I don't think her and Zoe Kravitz have hooked up really or like dated or anything. I mean, the only chance that's possible is if her and Joe are like open, but I really kind of don't think they are. The more we learn about them, like maybe in the beginning they could have been sure, but like now, nah, like they're too obsessed with each other.
Can
or
I
she's
float
obsessed
something?
With him.
Can I float something to you? Is it possible Joe has to be monogamous to Taylor, but Taylor doesn't have to be monogamous to Joe?
No, but that would be funny.
I mean, I just feel like if there is an arrangement I can see being possible that allows for Taylor to sleep with other people, it's that one. Is that because she's
that would
so,
be a girl boss?
Well, she's
no.
just so like I don't know. I feel like Taylor's probably not the most fair person. And I think even like in her own songs where she reflects on herself, she kind of admits like, I'm, you know, what is it? You know, in me, stormed out of every room, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, my love was as cruel as the cities I lived in. You know, I think she knows she's not the best partner always. And it's hard to be a good partner sometimes. And I think it's even harder for her, at least by her own words. But I do think this song's about Calvin. Lock broken, slur spoken. I don't 100% know what that means. Can I just say all the tweets from like late stage Kaylor saying like it was Scott Swift breaking into her diary and that's seeing that she's gay and saying so embarrassing, like D slur.
That's so embarrassing. I know. She's obviously talking about being drunk. Like you're slurring your speech when you're drunk.
Well, and Calvin gave her a locket.
Right.
Like, it just, if it's anything, it's that. Or is it just like, you know, a broken door, like lock that she bangs into because she's drunk? I don't know. But I think.
I don't think Taylor Swift knows what a slur is, first of all. Like, I actually don't.
I mean, all her fandoms, like Swifty is a slur, Gaylor is a slur. Like, that's G slur to you. But put on your records and regret me that Calvin is a DJ. Put on your headphones and burn my city. Again, Calvin is a DJ.
Yeah, it's for sure about Calvin and Joe.
Oh, how do you feel about Storm Coming, Good Husband, Drag My Feet Right Down the Aisle? Is she just getting poetic about it? And who's the husband?
I feel like it's still about Calvin. Like, she's saying, like, they could have been good together. You know,
when they broke up.
In her fantasy, she wanted it to be. I don't know.
When they broke up, Calvin came out. Or, like, somebody who spoke on behalf of Calvin said Calvin was shopping for wedding rings. And then in the Look What You Made Me Do music video, she spells out no with a locket that looks similar to the locket Calvin gave her.
So. Right, I think it's possible her and Calvin could have been, like, not fully officially engaged or anything. But, like, you know, kind of saying, like, oh, we should get married or, like, one day we'll get married.
Next couple years, if we're still together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they were together for over a year. That's not super uncommon. I mean, you know, most people aren't engaged after a year, but some people start saying, like, you know, maybe one day we'll, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
The only thing I do, for some reason, come to Zoe on this song. She, of course, was married, you know, Drag My Feet Right Down the Aisle. Like, who got married? High Fidelity is her show. High Infidelity. I can't 100% ignore that. Just, I have to pay it its due. I have to pay it its due. But at the end of the day, I do think this song's about Calvin. April 29th is the day that they released This Is What You Came For. So.
Oh, is it?
You know, that's like the only date that really ties back into anything. It wasn't like the Met Gala or anything.
I do want to know where she was April 29th.
I want to know where she was on January 6th. But yeah, I give it to Calvin. All the headphones and putting on the records and, you know, also,
sorry, I just like ripped my headphones out of my ears, okay. But yes, I was just sure giving the sign to Calvin. Good. Yeah, it's definitely about Calvin and Joe overlap, or like cheating on Calvin with Joe and like all that. And like having feelings for Joe before her and Calvin were officially done and yada, yada, yada.
Right. Okay. How about Glitch?
It's about Joe. It's all right. I like it, but it's not like one of my favorites either. It's just kind of like mid tier, I guess.
I'm not crazy about it at all. It's one of my least favorite songs on the album, but I do say, I don't even know that I have a final take, but it just depends on what is a love blackout. Is a love blackout getting together or is a love blackout breaking up? And I think if you say breaking up, then I actually will say Carly. If you say love blackout is getting together, I will say Joe.
It's about Joe. Her and Carly didn't date. Like,
yeah, but
I
she didn't
don't.
Say you were my monogamous girlfriend in the song. She said it's been this many days since our love blackout.
I guess. I just don't think her and Carly were in love. Like, I don't think that was a thing. I don't know. I really don't think any songs are about Carly, like, in general.
Don't
Maybe
blame me.
A couple.
Don't blame me. Cruel Maybe. Summer. What is that song about cheating? Illicit Affairs.
Maybe
August.
Maybe.
Listen, I'm in my Kaylor era. We've been reviewing the timeline. I guessing you haven't been listening, but I do feel like there is something there. I just do. Do I want it to be there? No, because Kaylors are the most annoying people on the planet.
They really are.
Is there in my if I'm here in good faith, trying to look at it as objectively mm-hmm. and address it the same way I would Swiftgron or Tilly or the guy ships. Yeah, there's enough there for me. There's enough there for me. And I do think if you had a toxic bestie hookup situation where she kept going back to her boyfriend and choosing him over you, but you guys kept coming back together and fucking, and like you didn't know why, and maybe it just happened when you were drunk, and maybe it just happened when you just like went out to clubs and danced together and then got a little close and like whatever, and maybe it was complicated, maybe you had to do a PR friendship with her, maybe you had to make, you know, appearances together, maybe you had to mention her and she had to mention you, and it was just confusing,
or it's maybe just about her summer. Pegging Joe.
All right, fine. But I can't decide, but do you love the I'm fastening myself to you with a stitch being a strap-on analysis?
Yes, but it's going into Joe's ass, not into a woman.
how on this album have we decided that Taylor pegs Joe?
I feel like I think there's a foot thing. She's a foot thing.
Yeah, well, she shows her feet an awful lot.
She does a lot. Mm-hmm. She won't put the dogs away, like, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what was the other thing? There was some other, oh, the kink of like her and Joe role playing as poor, sure. And like oppressed.
But
I
where's
don't
the
see
pegging
why...
coming from?
Well, because why not? I don't know.
I mean, it could be like a gender expression thing.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm mostly joking, but like, because I do like the glitch, like it's a strap thing is pretty funny, but like,
it's also
it wouldn't
stupid.
Be. Yeah, but it's funny. And like, yeah. I think it would still be about Joe, so it has to be going in his ass.
Maybe Joe has a small dick, and so he wears a strap.
Oh my god.
And that's why her sexiest song, I almost called it Unholy.
False God.
Yeah, why did I want to call it Unholy by Sam Smith and Kim Petras? Yeah, imagine if Taylor sang that. No, False God is about eating pussy because, like, you know, doesn't have the equipment it takes to please her. And I'm not body shaming, by the way. Having a small dick does not make you a bad person. But, you know, it might mean mm-hmm. you've got to eat more pussy. So
yeah.
Maybe that's why. But,
I didn't see it.
And then by the time this, we're getting really stupid. I'm starting to get tired. We're almost done. Okay, glitch. It's either about Joe, and I will say, if Love Blackout is a breakup, I am going to say it's about Carly, because it's exactly the amount of days is like exactly when Carly disappeared from her life, and that's hard to ignore for me.
Carly would vomit if she had to see another woman naked and then like touch them.
I mean, she publicly made out with another girl, but there was a piece of glass in between them.
They were licking peanut butter.
They were like dogs. My first girl kiss.
That was disgusting, actually.
Yeah.
And also, that whole thing to me is just proof that Carly's straight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying Carly's a queer icon, but could she have fucked another woman and still be like pretty straight? Yes. What it could have, should have. This song gives me hives. I have trouble with this song, and I feel like
it's good though.
Yeah, this is a good song. I almost don't want to assign Muse-ship. I feel like that has to just stay on the Patreon because I'm confused about it.
Yeah,
I'm confused about it, and I actually think we'll know more on Speak Now. But honestly, I do. Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. If you really want me to go deep into it, me and Imps' episode on the Patreon, we spent a while at the end of that episode on woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just, you know, I can't. You know, supposed to be John Mayer. Supposed to be John Mayer.
Right.
Is it? I don't know. It's confusing to me. Let's see what Spring Now brings, and then maybe I'll have a stronger take on woulda, coulda, shoulda. Anything else to say about the song? It's good. Probably about John Mayer. Well,
yeah.
It could be about John Mayer, but it confuses us.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Dear Reader?
That's obviously about her being a lesbian. I think it's just her saying how, like, you know, it's just her like reflecting on fame and how like she doesn't feel like a real person sometimes because she's such a huge celebrity and like people think they know everything about her when they don't, and like all that, like, and her relationship with herself and fame and her fans and her public image and all that is what I think it's about.
That's interesting. I feel like Anti-Hero more addresses this to me. She's specifically in this song to me. Dear Reader, of course, is what like an advice columnist would say mm-hmm. to the person they're answering. And, you know, I guess I feel like I think Taylor has found herself being in this like mommy role. Like she's a mommy to Swifties now. Mm-hmm. She used to be your bestie, you know,
right?
Millennial Swifties. She's just their friend, their sister, their best friend. To the latest, you know, amount of Swifties that have come around since Folklore, she's their mommy. And I think she's realized like, oh, the kids want advice from mommy. And I think she used to like kind of happily give that, you know, in her 30 things I've learned under 30, it's filled with advice. I think even she found herself kind of having to give a bunch of like sort of, I don't know, throw cushion advice, like phrases that could be on a throw cushion in her speech to the New York University graduates. I feel like she is reflecting on some of that and saying like, listen, I'm just a fucking, like, I'm not qualified to be giving you this advice.
Yeah. You
know? But I have been, but like find somebody else. But I know it's hard to find somebody else, isn't it? Because I am the most famous person on earth, almost. Mm. You know, not quite, but
up there.
Yeah. Like I think it's her, you know, her sort of reflecting of like, I've had to dole out all this advice, and in her music she does as well. Songs like 15, Change, you know, Shake It Off, a lot of Lover, I feel like, is sort of giving different advice. And I think she's looked back and she's just like, why do people want advice from me? And she
said, I guess that's true. I haven't listened to it in a while, but
this is one of my favorite songs on the album, honestly. But
yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah,
but most people don't like it.
I know. I don't know why. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's and let's get into the galore of it, which Kara, you may protest, but I do think there is some addressing. I do think this is somewhat a follow up to The Archer, and I still stand by the idea Taylor was going to come out in the Lover era, and Christian Siriano's got my back on that. And The Archer was commentary on that. You know, I've got 100 thrown out speeches I never said to you. And I do think this idea, the greatest of luxuries is your secrets. And also right before that, you don't have to answer just because they asked you. I feel like some of this commentary is addressing the fact that she's gay and she didn't come out and she realized like the greatest of luxuries is your secrets. And like, yeah, they've been asking me, but just so you know, just because somebody asks you something doesn't mean you have to address it.
So do you think like until if and when Carly gets pregnant again, like what, like, I don't know, I feel like that's the only way that Taylor's will stop saying that they're together currently, because that's the new Taylor take, is that they're together.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't 100% know what that has to do with Dear Reader, but
it doesn't now. I just know I'm saying that we're like at the end of them, so I was just thinking about it because there's
how all the gay about theories. I would love to have this conversation with you at some point. I feel like we should discuss late stage Taylorism and the turns it's taken, maybe on a bonus episode cut here in the next couple weeks. Would you be down with that?
Yeah.
Just to round it out, I do think Dear Reader's a bit gay, and I just think talking about the greatest of luxuries. And then I also just say, like, Joe Alwyn, again, found dead in a ditch. You wouldn't take my word for it if you knew who was talking, if you knew where I was walking to a house, not a home, all alone, because nobody's there. I know she's maybe just talking in general about the solitude of trying to be famous, or just like the pressures of like having it all, $1 billion, an empire, millions of, you know, raving fans. And yet you still feel lonely sometimes, you know. And also Joe travels for work a lot, so maybe that's that. But I do just feel like, damn, sometimes Taylor really is just out here saying things. But I love this song, and I do think it's a little bit gay. Not the whole song, but I also like that she calls herself a cursed man in it, which I do just think, sometimes she does. Like that whole, you know, an old fashioned is a man's drink. I think Taylor's daddy sometimes. And that's great, and might reflect on, you know, some extent of queerness, like queer people.
Or she's just Joe's daddy.
Or she's just Joe's daddy, but even so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have to go on and on for ages about it, but Hit's different. We got one more track to discuss.
I keep forgetting it exists, and it's like actually probably my favorite on the album as far as like overall like songs go. I love Hits Different. I wish she would put it on Spotify. It's super annoying that she hasn't.
Yeah. And to me, let's just round out the conversation with, it's just like, she held back one of the best tracks just to make money from Target. And it's just like, right. Girl, it's not about but the music anymore. Point,
no one's still buying it from Target. Like, you know, I mean, not no one, but like, it's not like people are going out just because it has Hits Different on it. Like, just put it on Spotify.
Spotify recently just made a Hits Different playlist that has a bunch of contemporary songs, like Miley Cyrus's latest is on there, you know, but also some of Taylor's songs are on there. So people are hoping, like, maybe they're hinting that Hits Different is going to come and it'll be on the playlist.
I hope eventually. So. But that, I think that has been around forever with that name.
I don't know. Maybe so. But I saw people talking about it recently saying it was new, but I didn't check that or vet that. But Hits Different. I got to say, I am going to give this song to Carly Claus. I really am. Gosh. I am.
Come on. Because
I want to live in a world where the car, where she says, I slur your name and you put me in a car. I want to live in a world where that is Taylor talking about Carly's nickname, Car. There is a video circulating of Carly saying, my friends call me Car. That's just true. That's Carly's own words.
There's also a tweet where Levi is reading a book with cars in it. And Carly says, I've never met anyone more obsessed with anything than my son is with cars. And Taylor said, oh, it's a clue.
Yeah. It's not, because like that Instagram post happened a couple of days ago. And guys, I will say, this is always going to be a rule here. Babies are always off limits. If a baby isn't involved, it cannot be a Gaylor theory. Babies are off limits. We just can't live in a world where Carly is making her son do things to signal to Kaylor's. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's just, yeah. And I'm not saying that there isn't some existence of between the babies or Louis Tomlinson's baby. Or like, I'm not like, is it within the realm of possibility that like somebody uses their baby to signal a conspiracy ship? Sure. It's like physically possible on Earth. But will I live in a world where that happens? No. So in my worldview, that's just like, right. We have to draw boundaries. We have to draw boundaries. Right. So like we have to, you know, I have to sit down and say, yes, coincidences can happen. And yes, like this and that. And like, you know what I mean? So if babies are involved, it's automatically disqualified. I don't care how compelling it is or how much it could tie into a lyric or a wink or a date or babies can't be involved. Like, that's just a rule for me. That's a boundary I've drawn. So, but the idea that Taylor would get drunk and slur somebody's name and then her friends say, oh, she wants to be put in a car. Well, I like that. And it's also like Hits Different, you know, is bitter. You know, she's not bitter about a lot of her breakup muses, except for Jake and John anymore. Let me pull up the lyrics just to make sure there's nothing we don't hit. But I do just think, you know, if Taylor's bitter about someone, it's certainly Carly Claus. I pictured you with other girls in love, then threw up on the street. I mean, obviously the idea of Carly with a woman would elicit vomiting from anybody. I think that's fair to say. We all saw that girl kiss that she had on her dumb little show.
So true.
But yeah, I do think this song's about Carly. Who do you think it's about?
Joe.
Okay. I'm sure. How about the line, bet I could still melt your world, argumentative, antithetical, dream girl?
She's definitely talking about herself. Come on.
But she doesn't say, I'm an argumentative, antithetical, dream girl.
So?
Okay, but take out all the adjectives before the word girl. And then what sentence do you have?
I can still melt your world, girl?
Yep.
Okay, but why do you take out the adjectives?
Because the sentence comes together. She doesn't say, bet I could still melt your world because I'm your argumentative, antithetical dream girl.
Sure, I guess
she's
not
talking to a subject.
But like, I mean, not necessarily. She writes weirdly like that, you know.
I mean,
like,
okay, sure. This doesn't get held to the same grammatical standards of like an essay or a book or something. But
yeah,
I don't hate the grammatical analysis of that. I think the song's about Carly. I do.
I don't think it's about Carly.
Well, who do you think it's about?
Oh, I think it's about Diana Agron. I think it's probably about Joe, but if it's not, it could be about a woman, but I don't think it's about Carly.
I'm going
with, I still think she's writing multiple songs about Carly in 2022.
Well, what other song do you think is about Carly?
I don't, but...
Well, then this one could. If she could be writing singular songs about Carly in 2022, then it's this one. Joe can have glitch.
I guess. Like, if she's really writing about different time periods of her life, but...
As she said she was.
Right. So, I mean, sure. Maybe.
I just say... What was that shit that was in the prologue about, like, but life also, altering?
Sorry. I also don't think Carly's eyes are blue.
Does this say the eyes are blue?
Yeah, she says catastrophic blues. I mean, okay, I guess that could just mean being sad. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that just means sad.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I've got the blues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never thought of that being eye color. It could be, but I took it as like, oh, I'm sad. Can I just say nothing on this album was a life-altering mistake, unless she meant just the rollout of the album and like trying to whore herself out for an Oscar all spot and like releasing the music videos like in a dumb like series and like whoring out trying to get so many records and so much money and sell so many albums, and like it's no longer about the art, it's just about the capitalism and the accolades.
The life-altering mistake was thinking this album was good enough to put out.
Yeah. I mean, that's so harsh, but like, low-key.
Sorry.
Low-key. All right. Well, any closing thoughts on Midnights, the era, the music videos, the art of it all?
Not really.
No, me neither. I feel like we really did her justice. We took our time here. If you guys want more takes, particularly like more Gaylor takes, it is on the Patreon. It's just, this is what we've got for the main pod. And stick around. You know, we'll be back next episode. We'll be back on our Kaler timeline shit. So look forward to that. With all that said, please stay safe in 2023. I am still workshopping what we're going to say at the end of the episodes. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah. No, I do not.
Okay. I said something on the last bonus episode, but then Jenna was like, oh, that is kind of gay. But I say, you yourself, as much as anybody in the universe, is deserving of your own love and compassion. Is that not the vibe?
Why is that gay?
It's just kind of corny.
Oh, I thought you meant gay as in, like, actually gay.
No, if it was actually gay, I'd like it. I mean, gay as that, like in that Hillary Duff commercial.
I mean, you can say that. I'm not saying all that.
Okay. Well, guys, we're workshopping a new sign-off, but get registered to vote, because you fucking should be if you're not already, but you should be. Bye, everybody.